welcome to Eyewitness Beauty, the podcast where we talk about the biggest stories in the beauty industry each week. I am Nick Axelrod Welk, joined by Diamond, the Creek Bomb herself.
Hi.
We are not going to be on video for our Patreon subscribers, just FYI, because Annie is renovating her rental apartment, which is something that didn't we talk about this on the podcast when I renovated my house, my rental house, and then got kicked out?
And then they stole it.
And yeah, then they moved in. So anyway, explain to the users of this podcast what your reasoning is.
Okay, well, so somebody came into this very old apartment building in the late 70s, early 80s and renovated just my unit and just the lobby and my bathroom. Let's say they clearly spent all their budget on the materials and like not on the labor, because it is a Mickey. Have you ever heard somebody say it's like a Mickey Mouse job, or it's been Mickey Moused?
No, I feel like that has like racist roots or something though.
Everything does now, probably.
It sounds like it does. Yeah. Anyway, continue.
First of all, you don't have to be a caulking expert, an expert in caulk like I am, to know a bad caulk job when you see one. And there's also, so they put in these huge marble sheets all over the bathroom, which are great. I loved it upon first glance. I was like, this is incredible.
But then you started to see the quote unquote cracks in the caulk.
And then that first bathtub, I like looked underneath the lip, and there was just, I mean, we're talking the darkest shade of mold. But then I googled black mold. Not all black mold is bad for you, but I did wear one of those like special N95s with the vent. No.
In the bathtub?
Well, when I was renovating it. So then, as happened the last time I renovated this bathroom, I took an Adderall on a Saturday morning, which normally I don't do because it's not a work day. But then I started ripping out all the caulk. And then I realized, oh, I can't take a shower here. So I've been showering at the Equinox, which also means I have to work out at the Equinox.
Hold on, but are you hiring a new person to put new caulk in?
No, of course not. That's the best part.
You're going to do it yourself?
Why would I let somebody else do the fun part? Yeah, I already did the underlip of the bathtub, so that's done. And you know what?
Did you get like mold killer to like make sure that it's not just like growing underneath the caulk?
Oh, absolutely. I sprayed everything down with bleach. This is what took so long. I sprayed everything down with bleach, let it sit.
Did you YouTube this? How did you know to do this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you do all sorts of research along the way, but mostly intuition. I mean, bleach, mold. And then I dried it. So I had my Dyson fan drying everything in there for like a day before I, but the trick is, this is a tip. If anybody wants to re-caulk their bathtub, you have to fill the bathtub with water before you caulk it, because, which seems counterintuitive, because as you know, like, moisture and caulk do not mix. If you're like caulking something, you really want it to be bone dry for the caulk to stick. Otherwise, it'll bubble. But you want to fill the bathtub with water, because the bathtub will, with all the weight, it will slightly like drop. And so you want it to drop before you put the caulk in. So then when you take the water, you drain the water, it'll come back up and it'll create like a really tight seal. What you don't want to happen is you caulk it when the bathtub is not dropped with weight from the water, because then once you put water in it, it'll crack the caulk.
Meaning that it's almost like suspension. Like it's like one of those cars on like hydraulics where like the bathtub goes up and down depending on how much water is in it.
Yeah. I think it's just called like gravity.
Hmm.
I don't think it's like hydraulics. Yeah. I mean, but so anyway, now I have to do the rest of it. And yeah, I can't take a shower. I can't use my bathroom.
Okay. Well, do you want to hear about my nightmare? Is I got this poster from the 1970s, I believe, of the tennis player. It's a poster for the French Open, which is called Roland Garros tennis match or whatever. And mm-hmm. It's a picture of Bjorn Borg from behind. He's like the Owen Wilson in Royal Tenenbaums, or what's the other Wilson?
Luke.
Jason Wilson? Luke Wilson Luke. In the Royal Tenenbaums is kind of an homage to Bjorn Borg. Anyway, I got this poster. It's from France, and I got it for Rafi's bedroom. Guess what happens? Like, if you don't mount old paper, you know, posters, prints, drawings, whatever, in the correct way, the paper can't contract and expand with like the moisture level in the room, like, you know, if it's hot or it's cold, or the, you know, humidity goes up and down, which will cause like rippling. So that's the nightmare I've been dealing with. And I had to get a paper conservator, $800.
$800. How much was the poster?
$1,500.
Jesus Christ, Nick. Yeah. There's your first problem.
I know, but it's a cool poster. And listen, no one said I was smart, period, that I was smart with money.
I saw that somebody spent, who was it? Bruno Mars spent $1 billion gambling. Yeah. And everybody was shocked. I bet you and I could spend $1 billion in like a long weekend.
Did I tell you that when I very briefly worked at Estee Lauder in LA, like, at the end of like they're on the fiscal year, not the like calendar year, so it's like in June or July, I forget which one, but anyway, like it turned out that like the marketing budget, there was like $1.2 million left that had to be spent in like 30 days before like the end of the fiscal year, and I was like, say less. My job was to spend $1.2 million in 30 days. And I was like, I have been training for this moment my entire life.
What did you do? Besides not pay me to do a sponsored post.
I did wheat pasting in New York and LA. We did a photo shoot for the wheat paste posters. And then we did, which is like out of
home. Did you use my friends? Snakeskin?
Who are your friends? No, we used a place called... He had a funny, his name was like Bear or Wolf.
Not Mike Weed.
No. But I feel like everyone who's in this industry is named like Mike Weed or.
That's his real name though. I thought it was a graffiti name, because there's a crew here that does it. They're all like graffiti boys.
But they're like, that's the biggest scam in the book. They put up the wheat paste posters, then they desecrate the wheat paste posters, and then they charge you again to clean off the graffiti. Genius.
The feuding graffiti wheat paste families will wheat paste over each other's work, and then yeah.
This is Martin Scorsese's next opus. The feuding wheat paste dynasties of New York.
Mm-hmm.
Leonardo DiCaprio plays like the kingpin.
My friend Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Who I spent Saturday with.
She walked past on the street, but okay.
I haven't had a good celeb sighting in New York ever. Ever. Where I wasn't like planned to be in the same place as a celebrity, you know? Like it wasn't like an event. It was just on the street, and I was sitting there on a stoop with my friend. And I was in a very serious conversation with this person, and then Leonardo DiCaprio walked by, and it totally threw me off for the next 2 minutes. I couldn't.
So don't they on,
which is weird because I like normally don't get starstruck. I feel like I'm too dignified. I'm like, fuck that. I'm like, you're a normal person. I'm not going to treat you any different.
I get starstruck by, so one time in 2005, I saw Simon from The Real World Paris at a bar. He now looks much different than he did back then, but that was quite a moment for me. I one time took an elevator ride with Luann, Countess Luann.
Okay, that's a good one. One of the most beautiful women alive.
Literally, one of the best bodies. She's, move over Elle McPherson, Luann's the body.
I'm sorry, move over The Firm. Move over Kate Middleton. We need to get Luann a title again.
Oh, you're right.
How do we get her back in?
Prince Andrew?
No, we can't do that. I don't think she's his type.
Anyway, should we get into top stories?
You didn't read the article. I didn't read the article either. I've just saw the... It sounded annoying to me because...
It was an article in New York Magazine about... It was like different couple, profiling a few different couples who have big age gaps. Mm-mm.
No, you're wrong. It was an annoying first person. It was honestly felt like something I might write early on in my career. An annoying first person article that didn't need to exist about a girl that married a rich guy who happens to be 10 years older than her. But
10.
And she was talking. Yeah, 10. I know. That's what I said. I said, I thought this was an article about age gap relationships, not like.
It's child's play.
I didn't know you were dating a younger guy, which is basically
that's
a guy
me
10
on
years
a Tuesday night. Yeah.
Yeah. Like 10 years. You were just telling me that 50 is too old for me, which is interesting because that's only 6 years plus 10 years.
I don't think, but that 6 years is a generation.
Well, this guy is.
How long is a generation? 15 years?
No TV.
Oh, yes. A generation is 15 to 20 years. So yeah, that extra 6 years pushes him into the next generation, which I think is the difference.
What is 50? Is that Gen X?
Yeah.
See, that doesn't feel too far off, though. That's just one generation.
No, but I am 40. I grew up with TV and VCRs. I remember getting a black and white Apple computer, Macintosh computer, because my dad, who's now a book agent, but at the time he was an agent for software writers too. Which was a very emerging field. Anyway, so
if you can write, I'll represent you.
He was way before his time, but he represented software writers. So we always had a computer. But anyway, but obviously didn't have the internet. We didn't have the internet until I want to say like 12 or 13.
That sounds
maybe
right.
Like 14. I don't even remember, but like we only had it on the computer in the basement.
Yeah.
Anyway, so like if that's me and I'm 40, then a 50-year-old didn't even have that, probably didn't even have internet in college.
He didn't have a TV his entire life.
But that, I feel like some people just like grow up without TVs, but internet, I feel like, is more defining.
Right. And zero internet presence, which I find very intriguing. That's my favorite.
Oh, well, I love that. But also my other question is... How do you research a paper without the internet?
What are you saying in particular to?
I'm just saying for people who didn't have the internet in college, like you're hungover and you're like having to like cram to like write, you know, a 25 page paper. Mm-hmm. You're like.
You have to go to the library.
Right. But like the line for the copy machine and the printer, if there even is a printer, is so long. That like you can't leave things to the last minute because like you'll be waiting on that line all day long.
Yeah. Ninth grade, we had to do a big research paper without the use of the internet, where we had to go to the library, check out books, and we had to have little note cards where we wrote down the
source. Oh my God, I remember those note cards.
In AP style.
Do people still do footnotes?
That's a great question. I got a book the other day where all the footnotes were just like, the writer's opinion. They weren't like, they weren't sources. They weren't citing their sources. They were just like talking more.
I like that. I just want to say something, and I just thought of something, not just, but recently. Mm-hmm. I'm going to list, since we last recorded this podcast with the two niche women, here are all the celebrities that have launched beauty brands. Ready?
Since. Okay.
The Rock.
We talked about this, yes. In Dallas, no less. He probably walked the same Target halls as I walk when I'm back
exactly.
in Dallas.
Exactly. The hallowed halls of Target in Dallas. Serena Williams launched makeup called Wyn Beauty, WYN.
Truly one that does not need to exist.
Rita Ora launched hair care called Type B, B-E-A, with an Australian beauty entrepreneur named Anna Leahy. I'm not sure who that is.
Famous for her hair, Rita Ora. When I think Rita Ora. When I think Rita Ora, I think incredible hair.
But Lana Del Rey's makeup artist, Etienne Ortega, launched a beauty brand. This is everyone just in the last week. Just in the last week.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one more good one. Oh, Travis Barker launched an aftercare collection for tattoos.
Why was Travis Scott on Saturday Night Live?
I mean, do we really want to talk about Saturday Night Live and open up that can of worms?
What's wrong with Saturday Night Live?
Have you been watching it?
Yeah.
I know, like, the whole thing with Saturday Night Live is everyone always says, like, oh, it's like everybody the good old days are behind it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, the past year, with the exception of, like, some cast members.
Sarah Sherman, with the exception of
Bowen and Sarah Sherman and Chloe Trost, who I think is really funny too. And I think their Trump impersonator is really funny. Nate Bergazzi was a host. Do you know who that is?
Don't know who that is.
Exactly.
Josh Brolin,
but he's like, I guess, famous. Rami Youssef, who, if you didn't watch that show Rami, which was on FX, I think, then you would have no idea who that was. It's just like, it's a lot of comedians, which feels like they can't book big stars.
They had Dakota Johnson. They had Sydney Sweeney.
Those are big stars, right?
I feel like the beginning of the season last year, they had a bunch of big guest stars on. But yeah, Travis Scott, though, it was very strange choice, which I think is a Chris. I think that's a Kris Jenner thing. I think she's not going to let Stormy and Air's father.
Oh, Shane Gillis was a guest a few weeks ago. Like, what? He was the one who was fired before he started for racist or homophobic slurs. It's just been like a weird, I guess there have been a lot of famous people. I'm like, Jacob Elordi.
Oh, I cried when Austin Butler did his monologue too. He was like, I watched Saturday Night Live with my mom. And then out of nowhere, he was like, and she's no longer with us. So I know she's looking down. And I was like, I cannot see Austin Butler in pain. I don't think bad should happen to him.
No. I like the fact that since the Amy Winehouse movie, the Sam Taylor Johnson Amy Winehouse biopic trailer came out, the internet has come back around on Austin Butler, and all of the comments under the trailer for this like Amy Winehouse movie are like, we need to get Austin Butler on the case because like this girl needed to do some like years long study of accent and dialect and intonation.
Wait, who was being mean to Austin?
I mean, the entire internet was making fun of him not being able to like drop the Elvis accent, like all the videos of like before Elvis and after Elvis, how he like totally changed his voice.
Oh, but I think that was just all in good fun. I think everybody knew that Elvis was a shitty movie because of fucking Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, but he's not Baby Girl. He's not Jacob Elordi.
Yeah,
I feel like the internet is not
sure
about
Austin
Butler. And
they loved him in Dune. No, we love Austin. Everybody loves Austin Butler. They know.
Really?
Yeah, he was in Dune. Everybody loved him in Dune. I didn't see it, but, you know.
Okay, other beauty stories.
Clinique is going on Amazon officially,
which makes sense. I feel like the takeaway from that was that it's a little late for like, Lauder's obviously trying to like figure out how to get back on track. Estee Lauder, who owns Clinique, and their idea is Amazon. But as you and I have talked about on this podcast, Amazon and premium beauty don't really mix.
But I feel like Clinique is kind of, it's so ubiquitous. I feel like it's expected to be on Amazon, you know?
To me, the problem with any like, you know, brand selling on Amazon is because of like the way that Amazon looks, and there's not like blue check marks as far as I can tell, like to verify, like, it all seems like you're buying it from the store. You know what I mean? None of it. It doesn't feel gray market. Have you heard of the new earphones called Loops?
I have not. No.
They're like for sound sensitive people. And okay. they like come in all different like engineering styles. One for like, if you want one for a concert, a pair if you want to sleep with headphone with earpods. If there's a pair called Engage Plus, where like you just like want less noise stimulation, certain vibrate like frequencies or whatever. But anyway, this person I follow on Instagram was not doing a sponsored post, was like, they're kind of amazing. My kids are super loud and screamy, and now it like kind of takes the edge off. And I was like, that's interesting. Anyway.
Oh, they're just earplugs. They're just headphones.
No, but I don't know. Right. They don't play music, but I don't think they're just earplugs. I'm going to find out. I bought them because you can't figure out on the internet whether or not there's any like active noise canceling.
Okay.
Anyway, I went on Amazon and I like couldn't figure like there's like 10 different retailers of these and I couldn't figure out which was like the legit ones.
Right.
So I feel like that's the problem with Amazon.
Well, I mean, have you heard about how they do the inventory in the warehouses?
No, where do
they allegedly have? All the products that are the same product no matter what vendor they come from end up in the same bin. So if you order like Clinique Moisture Surge, you might get one that came straight from the Lauder factory, and you might get one that came from the godmother or the woman who was stealing, having her like gang of teenage girls steal from
Breaking Bad for Girls.
It might be a complete knockoff. They all end up in the same bin together. Returns who apparently knew? Also, they don't have like a system for beauty returns. I mean, think about it. A lot of the Amazon workers are like seasonal employees that like are probably not trained up and don't really give a fuck about like where, you know, beauty products go. They don't like, that's why I wouldn't trust Amazon. Not for me. I'm not an Amazon beauty. I mean, I've definitely bought beauty products on Amazon when they've been the things that the really weird niche things that you can't find anywhere else that you already know you're taking a risk.
Am I boring you? Excuse me. If we're boring ourselves, how the hell are we going to entertain anyone else?
We did think a recent episode was going to be really boring, and it wasn't. It was actually
And it turned out great. So. It turns out that we're not as boring as we think we are.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other like beauty stories that we have?
No, I'm so no. And also two new rules for the beauty industry. One, no more April Fools. You guys are not funny. Beauty girls are not funny.
Beauty brands are some of the least funny brands that exist.
And you've already, they've already done the joke collaborations for real. Like the Cheeto collaboration was a real collaboration. So like if you're announcing like a Pringles like collaboration for April Fool's, like
It's like literally, I agree. This is, if you listen to Las Culturistas, this would be an I don't think so, honey. Because it is like beauty brands are not funny. Like we don't get the funniest people in the world. We get some smart people and some talented people. We do not get the funniest people. Leave the jokes to like Taco Bell or so, you know what I mean? Wendy's. But like do not – like it'll be like say beauty. No offense. But it's like here's like a green moisturizer to like look more like Shrek or something. And it's like okay. That's like not that funny. I agree. No more moratorium on April Fool's jokes.
Yeah, we got to stop. Or it needs to be like fucking like you need to really like fool people.
Yeah, and it's like there's nothing. It's like none of it.
None I mean, I can of think it. Of some things, but it would just make people mad.
Right.
No brand is brave enough.
Is my point. Because it would have to be like it would sort of have to be like anti-cancel culture a little bit.
It would have to be like we put live bunnies. It's like we do test on animals now.
Like the new like rare beauty
concealer like, and it has four shades
one,
and they're all
it's like one shade or something. That's too edgy for the beauty industry.
Yeah, no. The one thing the beauty industry is not is edgy. Like
no.
The moment Kat Von D was like, I don't know about this vaccine, she was like, I gotta get her out of here.
I mean, but you know who is edgy, LOL, is Issamaya French and her penis lollipop.
Yeah, but kind of.
Lipstick.
Yes, but it's like not.
I'm joking. It's not. There's nothing funny about that either.
No.
You know who's funny? Jeffree Star.
Yeah, but.
And that's why he exists outside of Yeah, exactly. He self-funded his own thing.
Beef jerky and pallets. Somehow yeah. It works in his world.
And doesn't he have like a llama farm or something? Anyway,
hold on. That's how he makes the beef jerky, the yaks.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's not beef jerky. So also Mark R. Word. Are you ready for this?
Who's Mark R. Word?
Me and you. This is okay. To the audience of listeners and from us. The next big thing in beauty is going to be Christian girl beauty.
Oh, yes. Evangelical.
Evangelical yeah. Christians are taking over my For You page, my Explore page. Mm-hmm. I've been sending you this girl, Sadie Robinson, who somehow I started getting served. And I like, she's like in these like mega churches where it looks like she's literally playing Madison Square Garden. And she is a Phi Beta Delt or what, you know, like she looks just like a hot sorority girl. And I say that with all the love.
In a pink jumpsuit.
In like a pink jumpsuit. And she's like, hey, y'all. So y'all, I mean, you know how when like you just like had an exam and it's like, oh my God. And like, I'm like, I keep on like fast forwarding to be like, when does she get to like the point of what she's saying? But then the whole clip will just be like her telling a story, but it's all about Jesus.
She was like talking about Noah's Ark and she was like, we all know about Noah's Ark. You know, you got two of each animal. You got Noah. Everything's going to be okay. It's a happy story, but we're not asking ourselves, why did he have to build the ark? Why did things get so bad? I'm going to read you from Ecclesiastes where God said.
But anyway, I should represent her because we can get brand deals the house down.
Ugh, I find her so grating. I can't believe like she's working on you. She's like the person that makes me.
She doesn't really work on me. I mean, I think it's ridiculous, but like just the fact that she's like the face of like modern Christianity.
There's a lot of, well, we were having a little brainstorm as we do on regular schedule about how to grow our audience on our podcast.
Yes. And we were like, we need Christians.
My theory I think we need a straight white man. Look at all the top
podcasts.
We need a third co-host. Who's
needs like, to be a preferably like a flat earther, right?
Or like a Dave. He needs to like own a pit bull, which is like my least favorite type of guy. No offense. I do think that if you're a man and you own a pit bull, you are compensating for something.
We got to start over. This is bad. And this verse is probably one of the most sad verses to me in the whole entire Bible. It's Genesis 6, and it's the story of Noah and the Ark. Many of us know the story of Noah and the Ark, but most of us, when we think about Noah and the Ark, what do we think about? We think about the two animals and Noah's family, and we think about the Ark and the rainbow, and it's a beautiful story. But you don't think about how it had to get literally so bad.
Literally. That it would literally.
Get so evil that God would say, I'm going to destroy the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk about that part for just a second. It was that bad.
It was that bad.
Evil. It was that horrible.
There was that little riz on
earth. Why is God so spiteful?
The wickedness of man was so great in the earth, and that every...
I love her so much.
I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not going to follow you.
She's the worst.
I would give my life for you. He was so on fire for God. Well, the night goes on, and just a little while later...
I'm in. All I'll say is, like, where do I sign... What's the dollar amount that I need to? Oh,
you know who is not getting old? Who I feel like should be getting old by now is Pookie and her husband.
Oh yeah, good point. Can I say one other thing? I have a product of the week. Should we get to that? It's a really good product of the week.
This is a very short episode, Nick.
That's okay. Sometimes you got to keep it tight and light, light and tight. Okay, my product of the week. Is for all of you Scientology heads, there is a Substack newsletter that I started following during the Danny Masterson trial. I somehow like got turned on to it, but it's, you know, there are a bunch of these sort of Leah Remini people that are in the Leah Remini crowd in like her circle who are all dedicating their entire lives to like debunking and uncovering all these nefarious doings and actions of Scientology, right?
Brave.
So if you're like Yeah, and I've like always been obsessed with cults and Scientology, and so I started getting this Substack newsletter, and it's like it comes out every single day, and they get like all the leaks from like the big events, and they get pictures and transcripts, and like it's amazing. They're doing the work.
Yeah, what's the content though? Like, it's about
debunking. Well, I'm going to tell you. Okay. Well, so no, it's just covering Scientology. Like, but like getting sort of like information they don't want you to have, like pictures from inside their like biggest gala of the year. And for the first time, Elizabeth Moss, pregnant, was sitting front row at a Scientology event and she was photographed.
Oh no.
Yep. So that was like, so if you're into Scientology news, then I recommend Tony Ortega. His Substack is called The Underground Bunker. And they have, it's just juicy. Not every single day, but like, again, I mean, when else are you going to be able to see pictures from the front row of the latest Scientology gala? And it's John Travolta next to Elizabeth Moss. Isn't that amazing?
I mean, I just think like, what a brave soul. I just can't, that's so much
I know.
Trauma to invite into your life. I'm just... I mean, I get that he's doing it for a good reason.
I think they really do think that they are like doing like debunking like a horrible terrorist organization. And like, yes, there, it sounds like there are allegedly some very dark corners of Scientology, but it's also like if people want to do this. But I know that some people do it against their, are being forced to work. And like, where is Shelley Miscavige? I know. Also, you know who we haven't heard from in a long time, but who was there? Jenna and Bodhi Elfman. Remember Dharma and Greg?
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so my product of the week is this Substack called The Underground Bunker. And if you just are interested and intrigued by Scientology gossip and information, this is for you. What do you have?
Well, put me on the spot here. You know what I've been reaching for? A lot lately. It's a blast from the past. From ye olde offices above the Container Store on Broadway. Any guesses?
No.
I have been wearing... I guess I've been in a summer mood. I have been wearing Estee Lauder Bronze Goddess.
What the heck? It has shimmer, right?
No. Mm-mm. It's just a fragrance.
Oh. What am I thinking of? What's the oh, no, that's the L'Oreal bronzing mist or whatever. Anyway, sorry, continue.
Bronze Goddess is that fragrance that smells like sunscreen with a hint of coconut. I mean, just smells chemically, but in the best way. And it's addictive. It's warm. It makes you feel like you're in a... It makes you feel like it's like ointment in a hot car on the roadside of a...
The main accords are vanilla, coconut, amber, white floral, tropical. Hmm.
Do you not remember smelling it in the office and everybody was obsessed? I wrote a whole article about it.
No, but I mean, wow. This sounds very much like me.
I mean, I still have the same bottle from, you know, over 10 years ago. So I don't know if they've... Well, I've never finished a perfume in my life.
You know what the only one I finished up?
What?
Baccarat Rouge.
Why is everybody so obsessed with this? I need to go smell it. I'm going to make my way up to Bergdorf's.
I mean, it's a cult thing for a reason. It's just like really, it is like a... It's a take on the thing of Centaur 33, kind of, but it's different.
So it's like musky and peppery or what?
No, it's like sweet and creamy and deep and warm and very unisex.
Mm.
Expensive smelling.
Mm.
But I mean, on the other end of the price spectrum, because the great thing about Bronze Goddess... is you can buy the Eau de Parfum for $90.
Oh, wow.
for 1.7 ounces.
I like the packaging of mine, but I've seen like the updated versions and not a fan.
Yeah. Or you can get two, you can get 1.7 ounces for $90 or 3.4 for $110. That's a much better
deal.
That's
a deal, let me tell you, because this fragrance is, unless they've updated it since, they've certainly updated the bottle and, you know, what happens when you, over the years, I think it's hard to maintain the same exact formula between batches on any product. We've
talked about this because like it's literally crops. Like sometimes that year, it's crops. Like sometimes that year's lavender crop smells a little different.
Oh, right. Like Chanel owns their field where they get their, yeah, so they can better control.
Yeah. But in general, like still it's natural things. A lot of it, not all of it, some of it's like all synthetic, but, or some of it is synthetic, like some of the ingredients, mm-hmm. but yeah. So it makes sense that they would sort of change and you have to like sub something out and put something else new. People always like are freaking out about reformulations, but sometimes you have to because you're dealing with like things that exist in limited supply.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And with that.
Say it again, brother.
I have to go to a physical therapy appointment for Rafi. So we got to cut this one short, aww, but
baby.
We are produced by Jonathan Kornman, a friend of a pod. We are edited by AJ Mosley, and we are found most uncensored on Patreon at patreon.com/iWitnessBeauty. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.
Bye.
Bye.